RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian Army held leadership meeting 2017. Indonesia closely watching Trump's policy announcements. Now the news in detail. Indonesian National Army held leadership meeting 2017 at the Army headquarters Jakarta on Monday, January 23. The meeting, which took place from 23 to January 24, is expected to be the achievement of enhancing the strength, capability, and deployment of forces of the Army. Chief of Staff of the Army, General Mulyono, in a press conference to the media at the Army headquarters, said that all policies can be executed by the military leadership of the Army personnel throughout 2017.
Jadi dalam kegiatan rapim ini akan disampaikan hasil evaluasi program tahun 2016.
So the result of the evaluation of the program in 2016 will be presented in the meeting. Then the meeting will relay the elaboration or emphasis of TNI AD or the Army Commander set out in the work program. Then convey the principle of activity and other principles subject to the repression the Army Chief of Staff in the framework of the program in 2017. General Mulyono told in the meeting, which is participated in by 151 participants, are expected to have the same perception, so that the result of the evaluation program leadership meeting of 2017 will receive the optimal program performance of what has been achieved in 2016. The Indonesian government is closely watching the policy announcements of United States President Donald Trump following his inauguration over the weekend. The Finance Ministry's Fiscal Policy Office head, Suhasil Nazara, said in Jakarta Monday, January 23, that the government is still studying the policies issued by Trump's administration. He also said that all now Trump talk about quitting the TPP or Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Pact and talk about implementing a border tax. Indonesia just wait for further policies to unfold. He refused to go into detail about the government's planned measures to mitigate possible risk spilling over from the world's largest economy. Donald Trump, a businessman and real estate magnate, announced some policies on his first day in office. The policies include withdrawing the U.S. from the TPP and revoking mortgage subsidies. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati has previously acknowledged that the exchange rate and inflation are the country's most volatile spots if global markets turn jittery. Separately, Bank Indonesia has promised to work closely with the government to ensure domestic economic stability. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said Monday, January 23rd in Jakarta, that patients suspected to have contracted anthrax virus must be given a special treatment to prevent the spread of the disease. News on a number of people suspected to have been infected with the anthrax virus are widely reported in social media following the circulation of a letter allegedly sent by Dr. Sarjito Public Hospital of Yogyakarta to the local health care service in Sleman District, Yogyakarta. The hospital through the letter informed that Aha, who was born on March 18, 2008, has died of anthrax virus infection. The vice president said in order to handle anthrax cases, a special operation is needed. However, the Sulaiman Healthcare Service and the Dr. Sarjito Public Hospital denied the report on the content of the letter. Groups of citizens also made calls through broadcast that the people should avoid the Gordian and Dr. Sarjito areas in Yogyakarta. Medical workers are still studying the result of Dr. Sarjito Hospital's laboratory test, which indicated that Aha contracted bacillus anthraxis. Jakarta will host the 2017 Global Mobile App Summit and Award or GMASA on Thursday, January 26, aiming to shed a light on Indonesia's rapidly growing mobile technology innovation industry. Indonesia is the third largest smartphone market in Asia after China and India. The founder and chairman of GMASA, Van Kates CR, recently said in a statement that the summit will cover the emergence of mobile technology and the potential stake that Indonesia has in this industry since 2015. GMASA has been bringing together mobile technology developers and investors from around the world. During the summit, Indonesian Communications and Information Technology Minister Rudiantara will speak about Indonesia's opening up for investment in the mobile sector of the telecommunications market. Other speakers will include Tokopedia Vice President Amit Lakotia and IBM Indonesia President Director Gunawan Santoso, who will discuss major themes of the industry's future development. The event will see more than 500 local and international mobile app developers and representatives of venture capitals who will also participate in a pitching session, during which financial award will be distributed among mobile game developers. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. As the world's largest Muslim nation, Indonesia should show Islam in a different light from that described by many media reports and recent White House statements, said an international relation expert. Teuku Reza Shah from the University of Pajajaran in Bandung made the statement on Saturday in response to the inaugural address of U.S. President Donald Trump. Donald Trump, a Republican, vowed to unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which will eradicate completely from the two faces of the earth during his inaugural speech on Friday. It is obvious that he focused on Islamic radicals during his address, but if radicalism exists in every religion according to sociological studies, then why did he only mention Islam? He also called on the Indonesian Muslims to not get provoked by Trump's statements. Instead, they should respond to Trump's narrow view through diplomatic means. He added that Indonesia should aim to help improve the understanding of Islam by developed nations. Therefore, Indonesia should invite them to look at Islam in a broader sense. Sustio Iriono, head of the Natural Conservation Agency West Java chapter, said that his office plans to file a report to the Environment and Forestry Ministry against Bandung Zoo over a skinny sun bear, as reported by Indonesia-based Scorpion Foundation, a wildlife trade watchdog. Sustio said on Sunday, January 22, that the report result will be submitted soon to help the minister make a decision. The report will include an explanation and the timeline of the plight of the sun bears, as well as the current state of Bandung Zoo. Earlier, on January 21, BKSDA West Java held talks with all parties, namely Bandung Zoo Management, the Scorpion Foundation, and the Indonesian Zoo Association, to discuss the case. Sustio said that the video uploaded by Scorpion Foundation showing a skinny sun bear was recorded on May last year after the death of an elephant named Yani in the same zoo. The BKSDA West Java, BKBSI and Taman Safari Indonesia had conducted thorough supervision on Bandung Zoo. He also added that the bears were among those screened, given drugs, and continued to be monitored for improvement. The last item. Indonesian Transportation Ministry has signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Monday, January 23rd, with State Lender Bank Mandiri to provide easier non-taxi revenue payments through its bank channels. Bank Mandiri President Director Kartika Wiryoatmojo said in his speech that Bank Mandiri hopes that state revenues can be retrieved through cashless transactions. She said the bank also aimed to improve public services for people who have to pay for transportation-related services. Bank Mandiri has also provided cashless payment services for Transjakarta buses, toll road gate payments, and for commuter line users. The users can pay through internet banking, ATMs, branch offices, and electronic data capture. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi meanwhile said the cooperation with Bank Mandiri would also increase efficiency. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Army held leadership meeting 2017. Indonesia closely watching Trump's policy announcements. That was the news.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you in our program commentary. The title of the commentary today is Indonesian Efforts to Help Rohingya. The crisis experienced by Muslim Rohingya in Myanmar has been an international issue. The crisis, which started from the enactment of the 1982 Burma Citizenship Law excluding the Rohingya as one of any groups recognized in Myanmar, has attracted the attention of the world community. It has also been discussed in several international forums. Lastly, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, held an emergency meeting of foreign minister in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Tuesday, January 19, 2017, to discuss measures to be taken in addressing the problem of Muslim Rohingya in Rakhine, Myanmar. In addition to playing an active role in international forums to address the Rohingya issue, Indonesian government is also taking other steps, namely providing humanitarian aid to the Rohingya Muslim communities in Rakhine State, Myanmar. The humanitarian aid released by President Joko Widodo at the Port of Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta on December 29, 2016, was submitted by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi in Sitwe, Rakhine State on Saturday, January 21, 2017. The humanitarian aid consists of 10 containers of instant noodles with flour, toddler food, and sarongs. In her speech while delivering the humanitarian aid, the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister asserted that bilaterally and through the ASEAN, Indonesia has a high commitment to help the inclusive development in Myanmar. The minister also said that Indonesia has been following closely the developments in Rakhine State since the attacks on police station on October 9, 2016. Indonesian humanitarian aid received by Myanmar Social Welfare Minister Dr. Win Myat Aye and witnessed by Rakhine Chief Minister Unyi Pu will be distributed directly to the needy people, especially in some of the refugees camps. In addition to handing over the humanitarian aid, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno also inaugurated two schools built by Indonesian public donation in Sitwe, Rakhine State. The assistance given to the Rohingya Muslims has proven that Indonesian government is really concerned with the problems of a Rohingya Muslim. Indonesia does not stay silent with the Myanmar's Rohingya ethnic circumstances. In addition to sending the humanitarian aid, the Indonesian government has also conducted diplomacy so that Myanmar can resolve the conflict with the Muslim tribes. Indonesia has provided a lot of technical assistance, such as building schools and health facilities. Hopefully, what has already been given, both technical assistance and diplomacy, can create conducive conditions and make peace and stability that is needed for inclusive development in Myanmar, particularly in the Rakhine State. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Wherever you are, welcome back to our program, Today in History. While we begin with an event which occurred on January 23rd, 1919, when the Italian Fascist Party was established. National Fascist Party of Italy, PNF, led by Benito Mussolini, was founded in Rome on January 23, 1919. The party was established based on the will to tear down the Roman imperial dominion. The group was always wore black costumes, palace, the dictatorship which tolerated no freedom. In 1922, Mussolini and his partners controlled Rome city. He declared himself as the ruler of Italy as his prime minister. The next event is in 1947. Megawati Sukarnoputri was born. Megawati Sukarnoputri was born on 23rd January 1947 and she is an Indonesian politician who served as a president of Indonesia from 23rd July 2001 to 20 October 2004. Megawati is the leader of Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, PDIP, one of Indonesia's largest political parties. She is the daughter of Indonesian First President Sukarno. Megawati has been Indonesia's only female president and the sixth woman to lead a Muslim-majority country. She is also the first Indonesian leader to be born after Indonesia proclaimed independence. After serving as a vice president to Abdurrahman Wahid, Megawati became president when Wahid was removed from office in 2001. She ran for re-election in 2004 presidential election, but was defeated by Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. She sought a rematch in 2009 presidential election, losing again to Yudhoyono. While listener went to the history with an event on January 23, 1950, when Israeli Parliament Knesset announced Beit al-Muqaddas as the capital of Israel. 2 years after illegally proclaiming the establishment of Jewish country, Israel Parliament Knesset announced the Beit al-Muqaddas or Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. This announcement soon received a backlash from Arabic countries and Muslims because Beit al-Muqaddas is one of Muslim holy cities which had once been a Qibla for Muslim prayer. Due to the expanding protests, Israeli effort to gain recognition from the world regarding the movement of its capital from Tel Aviv into Beit al-Muqaddas was totally failed. Countries of the world hesitated to move their embassies from Tel Aviv to Beit al-Muqaddas. Even until today, Tel Aviv is still the capital of Israel. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Daily news and events.
Hello, listener. It's nice to be with you again in our regular program Focus through our rival service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia anticipates Donald Trump's policy. Donald Trump officially took office as the 45th President of the United States on Friday, January 20, 2017. The world is now waiting for the implementation of controversial promises he made during the presidential campaign, feared to trigger turmoil in the global economy, which is still overshadowed by lethargy. Citing Media Indonesia reports, Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati went lecturing before 1,500 students of Udayana University in Bali on last Friday, said that Indonesia needs to be aware of the monetary policy of President Donald Trump. She views that the U.S. economy, as well as many other countries in the world today, is not yet stable. Minister Sri Mulyani said many are worried because Donald Trump is a perfectionist. In various ways, he will boost economic growth in his country. She estimated this will have a big impact on everything, one of them is inflation. Minister Sri Mulyani also pointed out that if inflation in the United States rises, it could spread throughout the world, including Indonesia. She added that if there is a worldwide inflation, the world economy would be shaken as well. She added, in addition to inflation, President Trump's protectionist tendencies might also be anticipated. Trump will open the possibility of closing the market opportunities for many countries in the world, including in Indonesia. A wide range of products from various countries which have entered the United States may be stopped to provide opportunity for local products. The condition would be bad for economic growth of the countries that had been supplying goods to the United States, including Indonesia. Presidential spokesman Johan Budi said in anticipation President Joko Widodo expects the best from President Trump for a continuation of cooperation between the two countries. Johan Budi also said that Indonesia will continue to monitor the policies of President Trump to anticipate global reaction. Meanwhile, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that Indonesia is considered not to be directly affected if President Donald Trump runs a protectionist policy. What was promised in the campaign will not be easy to implement 100% in the United States, since the country embraces economic liberalism. Vice President Yusuf Kalla also pointed out when tariff is increased, the price of goods in the United States will increase and purchasing power of the people can be decreased. On the other hand, Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Fahri Hamzah asked President Joko Widodo to anticipate President Donald Trump's policy. Fahri Hamzah in Jakarta on Friday, January 2017, suggested that the government build factories to meet domestic needs, focusing to begin revamping on production of basic necessities, especially food products. That is by building infrastructure and basic industrial agriculture and processing industry. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian National Army held Leadership Meeting 2017 at the Army Headquarters, Jakarta, on Monday, January 23rd. The meeting, which took place from 23 to January 24, are expected to be the achievement of enhancing the strength, capability, and deployment of the Army forces. Chief of Staff of the Army, General Mulyono, in a press conference to media at the Army Headquarters, said that all policies can be executed by the military leadership of the Army personnel throughout 2017. The Indonesian government is closely watching the policy announcements of United States President Donald Trump following his inauguration over the weekend. The Finance Ministry's Fiscal Policy Office head, Suhasil Nazara, said in Jakarta Monday, January 23, that the government is still studying the policies issued by Trump's administration. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said on Sunday, January 22, in Jakarta, that patients suspected to have contracted anthrax virus must be given a special treatment to prevent the spread of the disease. Jakarta will host the 2017 Global Mobile App Summit and Award, or GMASA, on Thursday, January 26, aiming to shed a light on Indonesia's rapidly growing mobile technology innovation industry. Indonesia is the third largest smartphone market in Asia after China and India. As the world's largest Muslim nation, Indonesia should show Islam in a different light from that described by many media reports and recent White House statements, said an international relation expert. Teuku Reza Shah from the University of Pajajaran in Bandung made a statement on Saturday in response to the inaugural address of U.S. President Donald Trump. The president, a Republican, vowed to unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which will eradicate completely from the face of the earth during his inaugural speech on Friday. Sustio Iriono, head of the Natural Conservation Agency West Java chapter, said that his office plans to file a report to the Environment and Forestry Ministry against Bandung Zoo over a skinny sun bear, as reported by Indonesia-based Scorpion Foundation, a wildlife trade watchdog. Indonesian Transportation Minister has signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Monday, January 23rd, with State Lender Bank Mandiri to provide easier non-tax state revenue payments through its bank channels. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Dodola Island in North Maluku. Stay tuned. Listeners, North Maluku has amazing nature, namely Dodola Island, which is located in Morotai, North Maluku. Dodola Island is unoccupied, but the beauty of this island will make you admired. Dodola Island is worth being called heaven. This island consists of two islands, namely Big Dodola and Small Dodola Island. The two islands will be connected when the sea is low tide and form sand road, so that like a hidden bridge. Because of beautiful place, local government calls this island as Pearl at Pacific Beach. Listeners, Dodola Island is located at the west of Morotai Island. If you want to go to this island, you can depart from Tobelo to Darubo by using speedboat and the trip is continued to Dodola Island. The trip takes around 20 minutes. If you are in Ternate, to go to this island, there are two routes and alternative transportation which can be used. For the first route, you can use Cessna plan with the route Ternate, Morotai, and departure time is every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It takes around 45 minutes. Then it is continued by using speedboat from Morotai City to Dodola Island. The second route is that you can use ship from Ahmad Yanisu Port in Ternate with departure time every Friday and Wednesday night. It takes around 8 to 9 hours and it is continued to Dodola Island. And for the third choice is by using ferry from Ternate to Sofifi on Halmahera Island. It takes around 2 hours to Tobelo City. Then the trip is continued to Morotai Island and takes around 2 hours, but the last route is quite exhausting. Listeners, if you walk from Big Dodola Island to Small Dodola Island, it takes around 15 minutes. The beauty of the two islands is the same. Its sand of the beach is so white and as smooth as powder. Surely, you can stay longer to enjoy sunbathing at the beach. The view of the sea, which is green, clear, and bluish, will increase your admiration. Dodola Island also has 13 spots for diving with amazing underwater view. This area is also called heaven for divers. Besides diving sport, you can also enjoy snorkeling, swimming, or fishing at the sea. The beauty of coral reef with various kinds of fish also makes this place more beautiful. At this place, you can also enjoy various heritage of the World War II, such as wreck of Alice and War Jeep, and also statue of Douglas MacArthur, who led landing of Allied forces in Morotai when World War II. Listeners, not only that, sensation of sunrise on Dodola Island is very teasing. The beauty of reflection of orange sunrise light on the water surface becomes unforgettable view. Most of tourists who come to this island prefer to stay at night by setting a tent and sleep on the white and beach while making a bonfire. If you want to stay at night on this island, we suggest you to bring mosquito repellent lotion, because on this island there are many small mosquitoes called agas by local people. If you do not want to stay at tent, the local government has provided cottage with cheap price. Every weekend, the local government also provides jet ski to be rented. Listeners, if you want to come to Dodola Island, there is no charge. If you are seafood lovers, Morotai is heaven of seafood. Well, listeners, that was Innocent Wonderful today featuring Dodola Island in North Maluku. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is mengirim paket melalui pos, or in English, sending a package through the post office. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic for today. I repeat each word slowly and you can repeat after me. Di kantor pos. Di kantor pos. In English, at the post office. Dokumen. Dokumen. In English, document. Kakak laki-laki. Kakak laki-laki. In English, brother. Bandung. Bandung. In English, Bandung. Paket. Paket. In English, package. Kemana? Kemana? In English, where? Kakak perempuan, in English, sister. Bogor, Bogor, in English, Bogor. Alat-alat menjahit, alat-alat menjahit, in English, sewing tools. Agak berat, in English, fairly heavy. Next is a conversation on mengirim paket melalui pos, or in English, sending a package through the post office. As usual, I'll repeat every sentence slowly and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Rita and Anna at the office. Rita, hai Anna, apakah kamu mau mengirim surat dari kantor pos ini? Hai Anna, apakah kamu mau mengirim surat dari kantor pos ini? In English, hai Anna, do you want to send a letter from the post office? Anna, ya, saya mau mengirim dokumen untuk kakak laki-laki saya di Bandung. Ya, Saya mau mengirim dokumen untuk kakak laki-laki saya di Bandung. In English, yes I do. I want to send documents to my brother in Bandung. Apakah kamu juga mau mengirimkan sesuatu? Apakah kamu juga mau mengirimkan sesuatu? In English, do you also want to send something? Rita, ya, saya mau mengirimkan paket untuk kakak perempuan saya. Ya, saya mau mengirimkan paket untuk kakak perempuan saya. In English, yes, I want to send a package to my sister. Anna, kamu mau mengirimkan paket itu kemana? Kamu mau mengirimkan paket itu kemana? In English, where will you send the package? Rita, saya mau mengirimkan paket itu untuk kakak perempuan saya di Bogor. Saya mau mengirimkan paket itu untuk kakak perempuan saya di Bogor. In English, I will send the package to my sister in Bogor. Anna, apa isi paket itu? Apa isi paket itu? In English, what is the content of the package? Rita, paket ini berisi alat-alat menjahit. Paket ini berisi alat-alat menjahit. In English, the package contains sewing tools. Dan sedikit agak berat. Dan sedikit agak berat. In English, and it's quite heavy. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio until tomorrow with another topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Kroncong songs, sung by an Indonesian female singer, Dian Piscesa. Well, listener, to open this segment, let's listen to the first song entitled Untuk Sebuah Nama by Dian Piscesa. Happy listening. The song untuk sebuah nama tells about longing to be loved girl in a love story. The person who beloved is everything among millions of people. The song was composed by Pance Pondaah and was firstly popularized by Meriam Bellina in pop genre in 1980s. The song then dedicated by Dian Piscesa with pop kroncong genre. The singer, who was born in Bandung, West Java, has a good talent in singing. Throughout her career in the Indonesian entertainment world, Dian has launched many pop albums, one Sundanese album, and two pop kroncong albums. The song Untuk Sebuah Nama itself, contained in kroncong pop album Kasmaran, which was released in 1995. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Walau Hati Menangis by Dian Piscesa. Happy listening. Thank you. song tells about sad story of love. That love is sometimes actually complicated. The song then was dedicated by Dian in Kroncong genre. Like the previous song, Walau Hati Menangis was also composed by Panji Pondaa. Dian still frequently performed in neighboring countries such as Malaysia and Singapore. By mid-2016, Dian Pisesa launched a new album after 20 years vacuum in the Indonesian music industry. Dian introduced a new album entitled Aku Ingat Dirimu, which she dedicated to her fans. The album consists of 12 songs, 2 new songs, and 10 old songs. Interestingly, on the new album, Dian presents 10 old songs with modern recording technology for balancing the 80s music with the current era. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last 2 songs entitled Kerinduan and Apa Salahku. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.